Good to see everyone here this morning. As I said earlier, we have been blessed with a beautiful day, and yeah, it'll be hot after a while, no doubt, or hot already, but that's August, and that's the Lord's will, and that's just like a lot of other things, you know, we need to be accepting of whatever it is. And just like in God's Word, we need to be receptive of whatever He tells us to do, you know, and abide in that. Jesus said over there in John chapter 15 that we must abide in Him. If we want salvation, if we want to be a part of the true vine, which Jesus Christ is, we need to abide in Him. And that's why we're here this morning. You know, that's why each and every time we're here, we look into another portion of God's Word. And I encourage everyone and urge you to open up your Bibles and study along with me, because I'm only human. I can make mistakes. And it's your responsibility to make sure that what I teach is in accordance to God's Word. We all have that responsibility. We all have to work out our own salvation. And part of that is being knowledgeable of God's Word and having that, you know, the wisdom of His Word. Because it's in these words and these words only. And just like we saw in our Bible study lesson this morning, as Peter pointed out there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. And so, but I want you to look over there. I don't have it on the list, but over there in the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 7, and in verse 18, just briefly there. He tells us over there, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." And this is what God does. He does pardon iniquity. In other words, sins. And it, like he said also, he delighteth in mercy. He is full of mercy. And he's a wonderful God, as we know. But we want to talk about something. You know, there are several things, you know, that we can talk about concerning God. But there's just, could we ever say enough about God's love? Well, I don't think so. Now, some other might have other ideas about it, but it's from the love of God that you and I exist. It's from the love of God that we have an opportunity to be able to have salvation. And when you talk about God's character, that's one of the things that's listed, is love. But you also know His Spirit. He is a Spirit. And also we have to talk about light. John over there in chapter 4 of John in verses 23 and 4 said, "But the hour cometh," Jesus said this, "and the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. There is no other options there. We must, because He is a Spirit. Because He is a Spirit, He's also eternal. You know, we don't see Him with our naked eye, but we believe. That's what faith is. Even though you can't see it, we can't see heaven, but we believe it's there if we have faith. We know we haven't seen Jesus, but we believe it. We read about Him there, how that He did walk among men in the flesh. And that's why it's important that we believe these things. But He is a Spirit. And just like Jesus said there in John 4 and 23 and 4, because He's a Spirit, we must worship Him in spirit and truth. These words are Spirit, as Jesus, His Son, would point out. And so this is why it's important that we always worship Him, because He is a Spirit. Also, He is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 talks about this. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now, when it talks about light, it's talking about, and darkness, he's talking about sin. Sin is darkness. This world is full of sin. And God is light. Over there in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, he speaks about how that, and you know, and he was talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, how that when He came into this world, He was the light of this world. And it tells us over there that He was the true light. Now there was, you know, some thought that John the Baptist was. But he said, no, Jesus Christ was the true light of this world. Before Jesus Christ came into this world, man's sin still existed. Through Him, our high priest, through Him, the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, we can have forgiveness of sins based upon what we do and what we must do, and that is be obedient to the gospel. by hearing His Word, believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, and being baptized. But until, you know, this is the reason why He's referred to as the light. But something else about Him there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declaring to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, but also that God is love. 1 John also, chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known Him, when you go down there to verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So all these things right here, but we want to focus in our lesson today at how that God is love. God, you know, God loves everyone. Now, keep in mind, He don't love sin, but He loves us. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, no one can get to the point where God does not love him. Now, He does not love the sin. Now, we have to keep that in mind. So many of the world today thinks that they can live any lifestyle they want, do whatever they want, and say, God loves me. Yeah, He still loves you. But He's given you a way out of that sinful condition that you're in. He's loved you enough to do that. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our lesson. Because when you go over there to the book of Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed His love to us when we were yet sinners. How? When He sent His Son to die on that cross. He showed His love. Jesus showed His love by going to the cross. So, and that love that He has for us also, it's unselfish. It's generous. You know, He's no respecter of persons, God, is He? He has that same interest in all of us. And God doesn't look at the color of people's skin. He doesn't look at what country they're from. He doesn't look at what kind of language they speak, different languages of the world. No, He looks at us as mankind because He created man. And so many of the world today thinks that He makes differences like we do. No, He does not. But He did show His love even when we were sinners. Did we do anything to deserve it? Absolutely not. Did we deserve it? Absolutely not. It was out of love. That's why God is love. That's why, you know, the Apostle John was often referred to as the Apostle of Love. He mentions that quite a bit. And that's very important. Just like I said there at the very beginning, can you mention enough about God's love? No. It's love that started all this. Love of mankind. He's always been here. You know, we can never get to that point because we are loved by God. And that's why He wants us to be saved. He wants us to, you know, be obedient to Him so that we can be rid of our sins. But we did not do anything to deserve that love. We were sinners. And as sinners, we were enemies of His. That's what James chapter 4, verse 4 says. He said, James, in addressing some of those there at that time, he said, You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, in our Bible study lesson this morning there, we read about how that the apostles were going about preaching the word, preaching about Jesus Christ and then Jesus resurrected. The Sadducees didn't want them to preach that. These were enemies of God. But yet they were being given another opportunity to hear the gospel. Here was, I wanted to make note of that. I can't remember, in our Bible study lesson. But here was an opportunity that these apostles were given to preach the gospel to these men, even though they didn't want to hear it, that they would have never had had they not been, you know, taken hold of, arrested. But they were. That's why they any opportunity they had, they proclaimed the gospel, just like us. That door of opportunity to preach to these men there once again that were directly responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But it was given to him. Why? Because of love. It was all that right there. And as James was pointing out there, if you love this world and you want to be a part of this world and you want to do worldly things and act worldly, you're an enemy of God. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but you're still his enemy. Didn't Jesus tell us in his word that we are to love our enemies? We're to pray for our enemies, be good to our enemies, so that it brings shame upon them? But just like, well, look over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. You know, we read these verses quite often. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy and heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's what sin does, you see. That love is there, but the sin's there too. The sin is what we need to get rid of out of our life. You know, there's verse after verse that I can refer you to and that talks about how that the prayers of those who are unrighteous, the prayers of those who are lost, they're not heard. They're ignored. Peter said over there in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So if you want your prayers to be heard, you have to be a Christian. John chapter 9, verse 31, the blind man, who was blind actually, that Jesus healed, he even told the Sanhedrin council there, the Jewish leaders, he even made that statement, God doesn't hear a sinner. Micah over there in chapter 3, you know, we were just there in the book of Micah there a moment ago. Micah chapter 3 and in verse 4, I'll turn over and read it to you. It says, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. So don't think you can behave wherever how you want to and your prayers are going to be heard. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. But now, that has its limitations also. One day, that opportunity that he is presenting to mankind is going to stop. And it'll stop when Jesus Christ returns. But God's love is not affected by man or the circumstances either. Because we do have an advocate. That's what 1 John chapter 2 tells us over there in verse 1. That we do have an advocate. Who has an advocate? Christians have an advocate. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Who is the little children he's referring to? Fellow Christians out there. That's why we need to make sure that we are doing his will. Over there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 24. It tells us also over there about Jesus Christ. I know I apologize, I don't have that on the list. It's something I added later. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's our advocate. Christians he is the advocate for Christians, that those that are his, not the enemies of the world. You have to be obedient first. And he loves you enough, they want you to be obedient. Christ said over there in Matthew 5, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So you see, his abundant mercy is for everyone. The essentials of life, such as rain, sunshine, he still gives that to everyone. Whether one of his or not. Why? Because he loves us. Just like 1 John 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Now, we all have family members. Most of us have children. Don't we love our children? No matter if they're getting in trouble or not, we still love them, don't we? That's the way God feels about us. We are his. Now, we don't love what they do, some of the things they do. Just like growing up, I'm sure my parents didn't love some of the things I did. But they still love me. And that's what God does for us. And that's the wonderful thing about it, to keep in mind. But something else about God's love. God's love is sacrificial. He sacrificed. God gave, remember, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his only Son. That's sacrifice right there. And just like that verse we read there two or three times already in Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love. In other words, he showed his love toward all mankind, showed it toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were sinners, undeserving, lost in sin, and he still sent his only Son to die on that cross. And the Father sacrificed himself and given his own Son to die on the cross. Imagine what he went through, seeing his Son. You know, he had to look away from Jesus on the cross, because when Jesus was on the cross, there was sin there, sin that he was bearing for you and I. That cross that those soldiers tried to make him bear, sure, he had been beaten almost to the point of death, but that cross was heavy also, because it was laden down with our sins, and he took upon him that. And the Father sacrificed him. Him who was without sin. Him who had left the throne of glory of heaven to come down here and die for us miserable humans, because we were so lost in sin. But he did that all for us. Over there in the book of Romans, if you will, over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because he loves us. That's why he gives us all these things. That's the sacrifice he made. There's something else about God's love that we all too often don't think about, but it's personal. It's unselfish. We've already seen that. No, His love is for everyone. He doesn't hold back from anyone. He's generous with that love. It may be given to the world in general, but also, it's also personal. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2, verse 20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was an individual, just like you and I. We're each one an individual. We each and every one have that personal love. It's not just as a whole, but it's also personal. Remember what Hebrews 2, verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. When it says man there, it means mankind, men and women alike, everyone. If every one of us here, if we were the only person on earth, it wouldn't matter which one of us it was, if there was only one person on earth, Jesus would still have died on that cross for us. Yeah, there's many of us, and he died for all of us, but he died for each and every individual. Keep that in mind. He takes a personal interest in each and every one of us, a personal interest. Remember over there in John chapter 10, verse 3, what Jesus said? He said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Then you go down there to about verses 14 and 15. He said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He knows each and every one of us. He knows everything about us. He knows our every thought each and every day. Remember what it said over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. No, it ain't on the list either, but I have to think about this. When we're talking about personal interest that God has in each and every one of us. He said there in verse 13 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." He knows everything about us. There's nothing hid. That's personal, isn't it? And His love for each and every one of us is personal. And something else about His love is special. Now, He has a love for the world, sinners or Christians, but He has a special love for His children. Don't take away the love that He has for all mankind. No, not for one moment. But He has a special love for His. Now, over there in the book of Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46, I apologize for not having all these wrote down. I got that one wrote down. Okay. Chapter 12 of Matthew, starting in verse 46, this right here will drive home the point. "While He yet talked to the people, behold, His mother and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Him. Then one said unto Him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." So they came to Him and said, your family's wanting to talk to you, Jesus. Look at what He said. "But He answered and said unto them that told Him, Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren." He said, here, all the family. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." So He has that special love for His. And those that are His are the ones that's doing His will. God loves His family separate and apart from all mankind. Because His is the ones that's doing His will. Those that are being obedient to the gospel. John chapter 14 and verse 23, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." You see, we have to have Him within us, don't we, if we're one of His. He said also, going back up to verse 15 of that same chapter, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we're one of His and we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. That's why He stressed over there before He ascended into heaven in Matthew chapter 28, starting there at about verse 18, when He was told them to teach, when He was sending them out in the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. Teach them because I love them. Teach them the Word so that they can be with me in heaven for eternity one day. Teach them so that they, if they're one of those that's in the grave when I return and I call, they'll be resurrected unto righteousness. Teach them so that if they're alive, they'll meet me in the air also on that day. Because He loves us. Teach. Teach that word there. You see, we are God's dwelling place. God is everywhere, remember? When you go over there to the 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and verse 16. Look at what the apostle wrote. Apostle Paul. "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" He dwells in us if we're one of His. He dwells in us if we are doing His will, if we've obeyed the gospel. He said also in that same book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, similar to it, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" If we obey the gospel, we are His. We're to do His will. We've submitted to His will. We should have anyway. And He goes on to say also over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Out of love, that special love that He has for His. Just like John said over there in 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Those words are behold. In other words, be amazed that we can be called the children of God. That's what he's saying right there. The sons of God, the children of God, men and women alike. As Paul would note over there in the book of Galatians over there, you know, we address each one as, you know, we're different. We're men and we're women. But when he talks about the salvation of God, look at what he said over there in Galatians 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. If you've obeyed the gospel, you're a Christian, and that's it. You don't need any other name. But be so thankful, just like John said there in that chapter 3, in 1 John 1, behold what manner of love that he bestowed upon us, so that we could be called one of his children there. That's that love he had. And that love also, that love is unending. Over there in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 3, look at what he wrote over there. He said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Today, it's out of that loving kindness today. He told Jeremiah, I've loved you. I've always loved you. That love is unending. Now, just like everything else in this world, one day things are going to come to an end. But it won't come to an end for those that have loved the Lord and have been obedient to the Lord. We know that we'll have eternity in heaven. That eternity, you know, I got a lesson coming up this evening there, talking about eternity and things. It touches on that as well. If we want to be in heaven one day with him for eternity, need to be one of his. That love there is there right now too. But we must be obedient to that love. We must recognize that love. We really should be ashamed of ourselves if we try to forget about how much he loves us. Because the Lord does truly love us. Look at all that he's done. And that love is everlasting. Look at what we read over in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish. Now, before we go on to that verse 13, he's talking about love, as we all know. It's called charity, though. And as Paul was pointing out right there, you know, there were some things, gifts that were necessary in the beginnings there of the church to establish the church, to establish the word. But he said, those things are going to come to an end. Why? Because we know that we have that which is perfect, his word, the written word now. At that one time, there need to be those that could prophesy. At one time, there need to be those that could speak different languages, different dialects, without having to study it. Today, if we learn a foreign language, foreign to us anyway, but not to God, we have to study that, don't we? To be able to know that. But he said, those are going to cease. The knowledge that they had without studying God's word, you know, they had that ability. It was necessary. It's going to cease. But something else will last. What did he say, verse 13? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. In other words, love. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of it is all is love. Love was what started it all. The love that the Lord has for us. And like I said earlier, God hates sin. Make no doubt about that. No matter, now, yeah, he loves you, but he sure hates the sin. Just like our parents. They loved us, but they sure didn't like it when we got involved in certain things, did they? Yeah, a good parent does love their children. Can you think of one that's even greater than God himself? God is holy. God cannot be associated with sin. God cannot even look upon sin. Remember I said there a moment ago when Jesus was on the cross? And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because of sin. He was paying a price on that cross. But that holiness that God has, it demands that he be just too as well. He is just. And because he is just, in other words, fair, you know, whatever we get there in judgment is what we'll deserve. If we have lived a life that's as a servant to God, it'll be a just and fair judgment that we'll hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if we have not, we're going to hear the words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And the reason why is because God is just. He's given ample opportunity now. And he will punish those who have not been obedient, because we know that, and the punishment, the place of punishment will be hell one day. That's the way, that's what God's word says. That's not the gospel according to Dennis, no. Man has no ability to take away sin. Man thinks he can dream up all these different ways and teach all these different things. Man can't save himself. That's why it took Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross, because of love. Here where God's love comes into all men, Jesus dying on that cross because of man, he's a sinner. So we can become a child of God by faith, by being baptized into Christ. Galatians over there, chapter 3, verses 26 and 7, as Paul noted, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, don't get this confused, as a lot of the world does. He loves us all, but we're not all his children. Christ noted that there were some there, and he spoke to them religious leaders, that the Jews, that were the child of the devil. Why? Because they were serving the devil. You can't serve the devil and call yourself a child of God. Now, he still loves you, but that sin there, he can't be associated with that sin. He said in verse 27, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." If we want to be one of his, we got to be baptized into Christ. We have to put on Christ. That new birth that Nicodemus, that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, explained it to him there in verses 1 through 7. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again." We must be born again, the spirit, which is word, and the water, baptism. Nicodemus wasn't getting a grasp of it there, was he? People today are still not getting a grasp of it, that they have to be baptized. No matter what the world teaches you here, so much of the world today says you're saved if you just accept him into your heart. If you accept him, you're going to do his will. You're going to be baptized. Until you're baptized, you still have your sins. They have to be washed away, just as Jesus pointed out right there. We have to be obedient to the truth, is what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." We have to have that love for one another too as well. If we've been if our souls have been purified, how? By the washing of the water, being baptized. "That you love one another with a pure heart, fervently," earnestly, in other words, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." It all begins right there with the word of God, doesn't it? "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And just like those on the day of Pentecost, the word of God was preached unto them. They were pricked in their hearts. In other words, they were convicted. They wanted to know what they needed to do. Peter told them, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what? Be added to the church. Until they did exactly that, they were not added to the Lord's church. They didn't join people under the assumption today, well, I'll just join. No, you're added, but only when you do God's will, because he's the one that paid the full price for that church. Acts 20, verse 28, he purchased it with his blood. So people today do not need to shun the love that God has for us, accept his offer of salvation. Salvation from their sins, and love him and be obedient to his will. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. As I said earlier, can we possibly say enough about God's love and what he's done for us? Remember, God loves us. He loves you, and he doesn't want us to be lost. So today, if you need to obey the gospel today. He loves you. He wants you to be with him in heaven one day for eternity. Obey the gospel. You heard the word. You repent of your sins. You confess him as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, and you're baptized for remission of your sins. If you need to rededicate your life, if you've been unfaithful and you need to come back, do that today. God loves you. He doesn't want you to stay lost, because if you become unfaithful and back out in the world, you're lost. But you can come back. Asking for the prayers of the church, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. If you need prayers for something that's going on in your life, this is the opportunity too as well. Prayers of the whole church, what a powerful thing it is. But if you will come today, as Brother Jeff leads us in this song, we'll help you.